Hello, hello! Welcome back to ProX Podcast. This one will be in English, but I'm gonna do my intro in Latvian. Hallo! Esiet sveicināti atpakaļ. Liels paldies par klausīšanos un labajām atsauksmēm. Šoreiz pie mums ciemos bija austrāliete dejotāja horeogrāfe Emma Wong. Un Artūrs kopā ar viņu parunājas tā mazāk, es tur stūrītī sēdēju, jo mums joprojām ir viens mikrofons. Man balss varēs dzirdēt tā, kā es būtu kaut kur zāles otrā pusē. Bet tas nekas, vairāk tad šī saruna ir kopā ar Artūru un Emu par to, kā viņi ir nokļuvusi vispār Latvijā, kā mēs viņu atradām, un tad arī par to, kāda deju kultūra ir Austrālijā, par īpašo pie deju klasēm, kāpēc svarīgi ir ne tikai mācīties horeogrāfiju, bet arī citas lietas. Ļoti iedvesmojošs podcasts, arī pati klase bija iedvesmojoša. Studijā enerģija vairākas dienas bija tik augstā vibrācijā, ka kreativitāte attīstījās un bija tiešām cool. Un lepojos ar Latvijas jauniešiem, jo Emma bija tiešām pārsteigta. Mēs parādījām daudz. Drīz arī būs video, bet pagaidām tad klausamies, kas viņai ir sakāms.
We can go now.
You can start.
Hello.
Hello.
So it's Arthur again, and I'm gonna be speaking in English. I'm scared. But we have an amazing guest today, and she's amazing dancer. She's very...
That's my intro. You don't that's have your, to say
okay.
That.
Okay. So this is Emma.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. We're glad to have you. So... We're gonna have a conversation mostly about you, about whatever creature you are. So let's just get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Well, I'm Emma.
Yeah.
I grew up in Australia, in Queensland, and I've been dancing for most of my life from the age of 3. Started off in ballet and then slowly added more styles on. Along the way as I grew up, and it became a passion of mine, and I pursued it as my career, and now I get to dance and I get to connect with human beings and just live my life through music and movement. Yeah,
it's amazing. And even while talking, there's a lot of body language, so we see that it's a natural thing for you. You mentioned you started at age of three.
Yeah.
So it was not your decision, clearly. It was your parents' decision.
I think it was my decision, actually, because
Oh, really?
I remember I saw my older sister. She went into ballet first, and I saw she had the shoes on. She got to wear the leotard. And I remember telling my mom, why does she get to do that and I don't?
Okay.
So I demanded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be part of that world. Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So in early in your life, you already
Lovely.
Early in your lifetime, in your age of 3, you understood that the dance can be the thing that will be something that will take your breath and will be something in later on your life, what you do full time.
Well, I think when I was little, I didn't understand really
you just thought it
how
was
much
fun.
It would mean to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just enjoyed music and I enjoyed moving and I actually thrived off the discipline of it and working towards something. So for me, that was just the basis of it. And then as time went on, as I dedicated more and more time to it, it became a true love for me.
Yeah, and for now it's a full-time job and a career, and that's what you do.
Yeah, so I dance. I'm doing the whole performance thing in Sydney, which is awesome. But on top of that, I also teach a lot, and I connect a lot with a lot of the other dancers in that community as well. And we get to train together, and we're trying to see if there's other initiatives we can have outside of being the dancer purely. Yeah.
Okay, one specific question.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a dancer it's very, very difficult to kind of describe your own style, but how would you explain the mixture of what your dance represents? The styles or the feel, how do you see yourself?
Ooh, that's a really tough question. because I feel like the way I move is I love feeling tension in my body. I love being able to feel every single muscle activate and work. So with that, I like finding the length. And then I also like finding intricate detail within every single little bone and joint I have in my body. So I think it's a balance between the two. But then it is all fed through from my soul at least that's what I've found in the last few years, is that that is what drives my movement, is more my intention rather than just what I feel physically in my body.
Awesome. And what styles?
What styles of dance do I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
The move vocabulary?
Predominantly contemporary would probably be the strongest underlying style. But then I've been training a lot in hip hop, and I also have a very strong jazz background. So it has influences from those as well that sort of bleed into there. But I think because the way I move is quite free, it's not really regimented to any particular genre. I think the best way to describe it would be contemporary with underlying influences from probably jazz and hip hop as well.
So we just call it fusion?
Yeah, the best way to describe it probably, yeah.
Great. Yeah. And I don't know what to ask now.
this is not an interview.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask. Maybe I have a question.
Yeah.
You can tell how did you get in Latvia? Not how you flew here, but how did you meet the actors?
Yeah, journey? First of all, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a very interesting story for the way we met, actually, because I was making kind of the same thing you did a year ago. So yeah. I took a leap of faith just to buy a random tickets to go to Australia. And I knew only one thing, that I'm going to go to ADC, Australia's Dance Camp 2019. And I knew nothing besides that was going to happen. So I was there for 2 months, but the camp was for a week. And this is actually the place where we met.
Yes.
And it was in the Modern Movement dance class that Rob and Lucy were teaching. And it was very, very something I've never done before, because really it's not just improvising, but the amount of connection we had in that class was very cosmos feeling.
Yeah,
I remember that we were asked to split in pairs and to do the piece in pairs. And my first thought was to, of course, go and run for Larkin Poynton, because he's my favorite dancer. And I just wanted to connect with him. But suddenly I thought, okay, no, stop. I think I have to do something else. And I just threw my eyes around the room, and you came to my eyes. And I noticed you in the beginning of the class, in some circles that we did the freestyle. I noticed your dance, and that's what made me want to try to dance with you. And as we talked before, the thing that happened in that moment, it was very, very sensitive, and it was very honest and transparent. And I'm very glad that we had this chance to bring it back to home to Latvia, since you're here in Latvia.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's crazy. It's like from Australia here. But tell me more, like, how did you get here? Like, why are you in Latvia, or why are you traveling?
Why am I here? How did I get here?
Yeah.
So I made a goal for myself about a year ago. I said I really wanted to go to Take Flight in Ireland. Kerry Millen runs this amazing camp for dancers. It goes for 4 days, and she always brings in the best possible faculty every single time. And I just set that as a goal for myself. I was like, I'm going to save up money, and I'm going to make sure I can get there. And then as I started thinking about it more and more, I was like, okay, if I make the choice to go to the Halloween intensive end of October, why don't I just extend my time through to the rest of the year? Because it takes so long for us to get anywhere from Australia. I was like, I've got to make it worth it.
Yeah, the flight is like awful from Latvia. It was three flights and 30 hours of
Yeah, you're traveling flying. For minimum 24 hours.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I told myself. It was like, I'm just going to leave that open. I'm going to allow myself around 2 months to just live, experience, and just take time away from the almost mundane schedule I was having with my life in Sydney. It was very regimented. Every single day felt like I was doing the same thing. I didn't feel stimulated or motivated or inspired. I just needed to get out of that comfort zone I was in. So I pushed for that. I worked really, really hard. I was earning my money to make sure that I could make it happen. And before I knew it, I was on the plane and I arrived in Dublin. And I was like, okay, so next few days we have Take Flight. That's exciting. But I had no idea what was going to happen afterwards. I had left everything completely open. Nothing was really booked. Had no flights organized after that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of crazy for me, coming from someone who loves to have everything organized to a T.
So you are a schedule person.
Yeah, I love lists.
Yeah.
I love having an itinerary. Mm-hmm. I love everything organized. I love a schedule because that's comfortable for me. Yeah, but I don't grow outside of that yet. So
there's no risk.
Yeah, there's no risk there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can calculate everything mm-hmm. and put it all into a perfect place. So then within 24 hours of me arriving in Dublin, I did a few posts on Instagram just saying, I'm here, I'm so excited. And that's,
sharing your experience, your craziness with the world
through
social media.
Yeah, that's when you messaged me.
Mm-hmm.
And before I knew it, I was booking flights to come see Latvia. And we organized to put on a class and to share and connect. And that's how I ended up here, really.
And so, I love that you didn't even hesitate. Like, your stories made me think of that you're actually really close.
Mm.
And I wanted really for Rob and Lucy to come here when they had their USA trip and
that
they
would
had
have
their
been
European tour as well, but for the days didn't work out.
Yeah,
sometime in the future maybe,
hopefully.
We're very English yeah, I'm very stressed because it's really hard for me to speak in English, but I'm challenging myself, so that's how we grow.
I keep saying it, you're doing very well.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying. I'm blushing. I'm really, like, you can see. Okay, whatever. So the class, so you came here, just everything was so spontaneous. Like, you, I wrote you and you just, like, in 2 days you said, I'm coming. In 3 days you had your tickets. And so we started grinding what we could bring to the people in here. Mm-hmm. Because my first and foremost intention was really I wanted to have the modern movement experience here. Because it's, again, a very honest thing. And it's through freestyle. It's just through pure dance. Because we get so stuck in the choreographies. Even with the people that do dance more professionally as a work, you constantly learn, you perform, and again it goes like through so fast.
Yeah.
And some of the people in the class were saying and sharing the same thing, as I felt like I haven't just danced in so long.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big achievement that we had, and for so many people to open up that I personally know them and I haven't seen them be so open, just let go. And so more than movement.
Yes.
That's a concept that pretty much explains itself. But maybe can you tell me personally, I would like to know in depth where did it come from?
Where did it start?
Yeah. What's the thing? What is the more than movement?
Yeah. So more than movement was created by two amazing Australian dancers, Rob McLean and Lucy Doherty. They're the co-directors of a company called One Dance Collective.
So that's Australian.
Yeah, an Australian dance company, mainly projected at creating safe spaces for dancers and nurturing creativity of all sorts, and also supporting community. So with that, they took some time, I think. When did it start? It's been 2 years since More Than Movement started, and Rob and Lucy said originally that they wanted to work with a group of dancers more consistently because they'd spent their time traveling and doing workshops and just working one at a time, you know, with different groups, but not normally revisiting them and being able to reinforce everything they were sharing. Yeah. So that's sort of where it started. And I think because both of them have a really great philosophy that dance is so much more than the steps. It's so much more than the technicality of what we all feel like we're drilling.
Mm-hmm.
It literally comes from the soul. And that what is so powerful about it is that it exudes so much more than what can be said in words. And so I think the special thing about More Than Movement is it creates a space where people feel free to share as much as they feel like they need to without having to try and find words. And so it started in Sydney, and it currently is still only in Australia. There was a time where it was running also in Melbourne in two different cities. So that's basically sort of how More Than Movement started. And with Rob and Lucy being really, really amazing influences in the Australian community, they've been able to slowly start branching out and sharing that experience more and more. And that's when you were able to experience it as well at ADC. Yeah.
So describe what you do in these classes.
In our more than movement classes, right? Yeah. So our classes, they're split into two different sections. So there is a combined training class because there is still a priority for, you know, cultivating a good space for training and building dancers up and feeling like we're also getting that side also looked after. So we have a class that is run by either Rob or Lucy. Sometimes they run it together. Sometimes we get guest teachers in, and that is a time for training. Yeah, and that goes for about 2 hours. Then we have a little break, and then we have the next section, which is what I like to say is where, like, the special moments happen, the magic happens. Yeah, it runs almost differently every single time. There is always a different focus depending on the term or what we're looking at or working towards during the time. But predominantly, we take time to journal. We all have books and we have different prompts or that's topics.
That's what we did a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I joined Dance Studio ProX. That's where we are now, currently. And this thing actually helped me a lot when Ieva was giving us tasks. And it was more like homeworks because we were not so self-conscious of these things.
Yeah.
So she had to bring them to us. So we would write down thoughts or mm-hmm. look for some ideas about self-development or just describing your feeling in the class, after the class.
Yeah.
But in the modern movement, when off ADC in the actual classes of... it's a studio or how is it just you just gather up and dance?
Yeah, so
it's a collective, a community.
Yeah, it is a community, yeah.
Yeah, and in these classes, like, I loved it that there was not only dancing, but you just sit down in a circle. Everyone has its notepads and Rob and Lucy, they ask simple questions about feelings. And so what do you love to do in the morning, or how do you create your perfect morning for the day? And what I've learned a lot is that each of us, we have different these routines that put us in the right perspective, in the right energy for the day.
Yeah.
And maybe you can share with, what are your routines like?
My routine.
So to get into the day. Yeah.
My morning routine. Yeah. So in Australia, I'm very lucky. I live very close to the beach. Yeah. So I'm just one street back from the water. So most mornings I'll get up often like around where sun rises. And I will take an hour if I can to just walk along the water. And that sort of sets me up for the day. It puts me in a really good mindset. And I don't look at my phone. I'm not doing anything with technology. I'm trying to stay away from work because I've just woken up. I need to put my energy in the right place. So often the first thing I do is I'll get up and I'll go for a walk along the water. And there's nothing else like being near the ocean for me. That really calms me, it centers me, it keeps me grounded. So even if I'm feeling stressed or everything's really heightened or I'm in quite a heavy place, I find the best thing for me is to go near the water. So yeah, then I'll head back home. Breakfast, I'm a big foodie most of the time. Mm-hmm. So often I'm starving when I wake up in the mornings. So I will fix myself a really nice breakfast, have a tea. And then from there, I'll then take time to probably, you know, have a look at my schedule for the day. What needs to be done today? Is there any prep I need to do for the next day? But that's my day-to-day routine in sort of my regular schedule living in Australia. Since coming here, since traveling, I've sort of just been everywhere.
Open for circumstances, yeah.
And I haven't really had a routine, which has been...
I don't think
strange.
You would have to have a routine in this kind of travels. It would be a distraction, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's meant that I've been more open to opportunities passing me by. I've been able to say yes to lots of things mm-hmm. that have come along because I haven't said, oh, no, I've got too many things I have to do today. Like, I think that approach for me has really been a benefit. But yeah. But the question was actually about my morning routine. So that's normally what I do back home in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to take it back mm-hmm. a little bit to the class.
Yeah, please.
So for the modern movement class, so you described the origins of it and somehow for me, I see more than movement more as a lifestyle, because it's really, it's people gathering up who are very self-aware.
Yeah.
And they are just sharing with their feelings, emotions, being mostly 100% honest and transparent.
Yes.
In the room. And in every class, like mm-hmm. what we had in the Modern Woman, there's always a person that cries, and mostly
yeah.
few of them are crying, is just because it gets so emotional.
Yeah.
And for me, the key point, the top of the Everest of Modern Movement, I think, is the eye contact thing. Because often in classes or even in daily life, we just are so self-involved.
Yeah.
And that's funny, because when we are self-involved, we think that there are other people that think about us, judge us, but actually they are self-involved.
Yes, always.
In their own world. Mm-hmm. So it's like two different people thinking about themselves, and they're thinking that each of them is thinking about the other person, which is actually not happening. So what I wanted to say is that in these classes, it's finally a perspective where you can turn your attention outward.
Yes.
And there is a place, and that's coming from the eye contact. And I find it very difficult. Even now, I'm just keeping a straight eye contact with you. But it's really like a mirror, and you can't fake it. So
no,
we get so honest when we look in the person's eyes, and that's where the energy grows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And have you had any difficulties with that before?
Yeah, so I feel like I've only probably in the last year been able to really tap into that sort of connection and being able to lose myself in that. It's a scary thing. It's very vulnerable, and you feel like you're literally giving part of your soul when you're that involved with someone and you're not even using words. That's the craziest part.
Yeah.
So I remember before I even started More Than Movement, I was in one of Rob's classes, and he had a task of holding, it wasn't even eye contact. It was literally just your own gaze had to hold one point in the room
mm-hmm.
while you just moved through the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So essentially what you would do with eye contact, but you didn't have to connect with another person. You just had to find a focal point, yeah, something to direct your energy towards. And that was so difficult for me. I didn't realize how much it changes the way you project your energy, because I thought I was really good at showing how I could project all of my energy outwards when I was performing, but I didn't realize I was mainly faking it, and it wasn't really true or authentic until I realized my eye contact is probably the most powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took some time of working more and more with Rob and Lucy. Every single week we would have freestyle circles where we would implement the eye contact, and slowly but surely I would be feeling braver and braver every week to connect longer. Yeah. I remember the first circle I did, maybe the eye contact lasted maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was a lot.
Yeah.
That was intense, man.
The time slows down when you have
right?
eye contact.
Right, but there are moments in our More Than Movement Sundays where we will, in our freestyle circles, have a moment where two people will sit and just look at each other in the eyes for minutes.
Yeah.
Before they feel like they need to move on, because it is an exchange, and you can tell there's so many people who feel safe enough to share, or they want to even just say something to someone else, and that is the space that we have created with that, and it's really, really special. And I agree that is like the peak, and it's probably the most powerful thing that comes out of More Than Movement. It's something that really sticks with a lot of people, is because it's so human. You know, there's nothing technical about it. It's not a complex move that takes years and years and years and years of training. It is literally just one human being and another connecting on the most human level possible.
And even I would compare it to the sensation of full awareness of your body, because I've noticed, as I'm a dancer as well, that whenever I go on stage, whenever I have a camera in front of me, whenever I have a microphone in front of me, I become fully conscious of everything that is happening in my body and outside of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I become very uncomfortable with that, because just going through the day, you never focus on yourself. Like, if you're in your head, but you just do your tasks without without thinking from outer perspective how you look or how you behave. And so in these situations, when we have a mic in front of us, even now, so when we have eye contact, we become fully aware. And this is what brings the adrenaline, the rush in your body. And going through this process again and again and again, it just it just makes you so much more conscious and free with yourself, that not only you can control it, which is a nice thing to have, because I have problems controlling my speech, I guess. Nice to meet you.
You have the spiders.
But I think so the eye contact could be the strongest one, just because you're not looking at that. You're not in front of a dead something. It's an alive person, and you remember when you that he's breathing as well. He has a family. He has parents that love him, and sometimes we forget that actually other people are alive as well, and we just treat them as other beings.
Yeah.
But we are human all, and that's what I love the most about these things. We remember that we're human, and we remember the collective energy that we can bring, because really, how far can we go if we're alone?
Yes, yeah.
Nowhere. I would never be as far as I've gotten in my life without people around, such as Eva, Kristaps, and other my friends. And now it's so amazing that to be living in this kind of century where we can connect, like, really, this feels normal. To be in this kind of situation where you're from Australia and I'm from Latvia, and because everything's so accessible.
Yeah.
But to really think about it, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
From a completely other side of the world, and just amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know what to add else. That was an honest and an emotional, dramatic speech for me that I wanted to share.
I loved it. I think it's true about having that influence and feeling lifted. Sorry, my voice. Oh. and feeling that, you know, it's just as important the people around you. I definitely agree with that. I think that you are who you surround yourself with. They will influence you. They will definitely impact the way you think and the way you make decisions and where you want to go. I feel so blessed because I feel like the universe has blessed me with its timing in how my life has worked. I thought I was not going to dance. I didn't think I was going to be a professional dancer at one point. I went to a full-time school and trained for a year straight just because I thought I wanted to get the dancing out of my system and then I could go and do a real job. That was what I thought I was going to do. And then at the end of that year, an agent came to our graduation show, our graduation performance, and he signed me to the agency that he's with. And it's
Jeep Management?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest agencies in Australia.
Yeah.
And that just took me so by surprise. I had no idea that sort of opportunity would present itself. And with that, they said, if we're going to represent you, you have to move to Sydney. So within a month or so, I had made the decision. I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to pick up my life and move to a really big city that I've never really been to before. And then from that put me in the place where I could connect more and more with people like Rob and Lucy.
Yeah.
And then they expanded my vocabulary in terms of who I am as a dancer and what dance means to me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have got there without all the little things dropping into place just as they should.
So there was one question they asked me on Instagram for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to choose between dance and other job?
Dance? No. Have I ever had to pick between dance and another job? I feel like I'm very lucky because it's always been dance in some form. Mm. There was a point where it was either I pick being a dance teacher in high schools, or I picked dancing for me, and that was a tough decision because I wasn't sure if it was the right thing to do to pick me. It was in the end, but part of me was like, no, my parents don't think this is a good idea, or it's not a stable career. I don't know what's going to come out of it.
I have the same problems everywhere over.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's a worldwide problem. It's not a Latin issue. Thanks. Thank God we know that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I have been very supported in my choice to dance, which I've been very lucky that my parents have provided that opportunity for me. And I just want to, you know, reflect on that and say that I'm really grateful, because I feel like a lot of people haven't had that opportunity to really pursue what they love and what they're passionate about. Yeah, because I, looking back, I always picked dance. There was a part of me that just always...
What,
always
was it a conscious dance. Or unconscious choice?
Interesting. Because I actually think it was probably quite a conscious decision when I was younger.
Conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was probably also like my ego and my pride as well. I was like, oh, I'm like quite good at this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for like small little Sunshine Coast, I wasn't terrible.
Okay, yeah.
I definitely am a different dancer altogether compared to what I was when I was 16, 17. But back then it was something that I was like, oh, maybe I can make this happen in some way. And for a little while that was more geared towards being a teacher strictly. And then I was like, oh, wait, but I feel like I need to dance more. And then slowly I've been able to marry them together and be like, you can do all sorts of things in dance. You don't just have to be one thing. You don't have to put yourself in one box. You have so many skills. You are not just one thing. So why not go out and do as much as you can and feed that all the parts of your soul that want to do all the different things? And so then you are left as a whole person instead of just, oh, I just do one thing. You don't want to be one thing. No. I don't want to be one thing. I want to be a person that inspires people, but I also want to be a creative, and I also want to just connect. Like, there is just endless things that I want to add to who I am as a person.
I can totally agree with you, because when I discovered dance, when I began my journey through modern dance, because I did 11 years of folk, and it's totally not a thing that opened my eyes, but when I consciously decided that I want to dance and I want to see more of that from another perspective, I discovered, let's call it hip-hop, urban dance, urban dance, street style dance.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I had this mentality that I want to be a battle dancer, I want to be a hip-hop dancer, I want to travel and just win battles. But then I realized that it's kind of not my feeling, because my body shaped differently. I can do much more things with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that it's not fulfilling me completely, that I can go in many more directions. And it's about 3 years ago that I realized I don't really want to be... label myself something. Yeah. I don't want to label myself as a hip-hop dancer. I want to be a complete human being. I want to experience anything we can as human beings to fully. And for example, if we have to do daily stuff such as cooking and, I don't know, sleeping or just driving on commute or whatever, going to class, wearing clothes, I want to do it as good as possible, as comfortable as possible, I think, if it's good. But really just growing in every this field of life, not only in dance, but in human relations.
Absolutely.
Social communications. But one thing, I noticed in you, you're very open-minded. And you mentioned such things as universe and soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear you really believe in higher powers of this kind. And you mentioned one more thing, that when you decided to take dance more seriously, like sort of you moved to Sydney and the gig management thing happened, you found Rob and Lucy, sort of all the things fell in the right sockets.
Yeah.
So as we have discussed with Yeva before, these things happen when your mindset is really aligned with your... with what you believe in and what you would have to do.
Yeah.
If there is this, if we believe in this concept of potential and fully, and finding the potential you have to achieve in your lifetime. So I believe these things happen only when you are on the right track.
Yeah.
So maybe can you explain a little bit more of your, of your mindset, of your being open? Because it's, I find it difficult nowadays.
Yeah, I think I may sound like I'm a very open person, but I still feel like I have so much more to do in terms of growing in that respect.
It's an endless process.
It is an endless process, absolutely. I think I started trusting more.
Whom?
Trusting in basically in what was whatever my destiny was going to be. As long as I told myself, I was like, you work hard for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you keep yourself passionate, you keep yourself inspired, you look after the people you love, and you surround yourself by good things that help you and fuel you. And I feel like slowly you will start finding the right things and it will mold you into the right direction. And, you know, being open, that's been a difficult thing for me. I feel like I was someone for a very long time who was like, no, the only way to get things is there's a formula to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a formula to success. What even is success anyway? You know, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
And I was coming across more and more people who didn't, they didn't really go by that formula. Yeah. They were authentic. They were genuine to who they were and they stuck to their guns in that respect where they aligned with themselves only, and they didn't feel like they had to waver or copy someone else or be like another person to find their own defined path. And that's when I started realizing that I didn't need to replicate what I was seeing around myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't need to look like this person or move like this person or make the same decisions as this person, because their path is theirs and my path is mine. And it's that understanding that every single person's path and every single person's journey is individual, and not one person's experience is ever going to be like another, and respecting that and being okay with that. And I think that's the biggest thing, is literally understanding that your own journey is special and is exactly as it should be and as it needs to be. And there is no right or wrong way of how to achieve what you want to achieve. Yeah.
But for me, to be honest, all the things you just mentioned, it sounds like a formula as well, just an updated one. Because formula goes like this: being aligned with your interest.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with people that are of the same mindset about being open, taking things from others and adapting to your own path.
Yeah.
Because the way we communicate, obviously we have many things in common. One of the biggest ones is the dancing thing.
Yeah.
But I found myself, whenever I got into this correct mindset, that I got more friends outside of the dance. So it works that I can relate to the people who do completely different things.
Yeah.
So all the things we're talking about, it doesn't have to be necessarily dance.
No.
But we just found them through dance.
Yeah.
But anyways, anyone, like really a cook or a kindergarten a cook or a kindergarten teacher, if they really love what they do and if they do it with complete honest, then it's the same thing. And I love it that I had this issue that I was really trying to copy other people, not only copy their success, productive habits, but like I was trying to copy every step. I was not adapting it to my will, to my feeling. I was just copying, and it didn't quite work well.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I got to experience it.
Yeah,
actually, absolutely. A big part of it happened in Australia. But let's not go deep into it. But really, it's an endless process of finding new information, applying it, and seeing how it works. And then the main thing is really this, getting back to it, the awareness and being conscious of the feeling you have when you do a certain thing.
Absolutely.
Because you can really get lost in the process. Even now, when you have a really tight schedule and lots of things are happening, you can get carried away very, very quickly. And it relates back again to eye contact, because when you had this task to focus on one part
yeah.
in the room, you found it very difficult. So basically all the time just walking around the street, we are very distracted.
Yeah.
Not only through internet, but very by every noise, by every picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of becoming aware where you are focusing daily when you walk. Is it the sky? Is it the people? I see lots of people just walking, not even looking at the phone, but walking
yeah.
on the floor. And I found myself again looking on just the pathway where I'm going, not going up and looking around. And I'm having issues just passing by the people, looking in their eyes. I feel uncomfortable. I feel a bad energy coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really lots of things. And just being certain of what you do daily, how you do it, and how you feel about it.
Yeah.
I think those are the key points to really get in touch with yourself.
Absolutely, for sure. There are endless resources and information. We've had
yeah.
many chats over the yeah, last couple
exactly.
of dates about how much there is out there that is accessible
Lots
to
of tools.
Us. And that can be super overwhelming.
Yeah.
When I started more of my focus towards personal development and self-love, I was finding all sorts of things that I was like, these are going to help me. And then when I laid them all out in front of me, I was like, but where do I start?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is something that's really important is like listening to your response to certain things and certain tools. Does it actually light you up? Does it actually make you feel good? If it doesn't make you feel good, it's probably not for you, and that's okay.
That it works
yeah.
for you, it doesn't mean it should work for me.
Exactly. Yeah. So I may find something that I really align with, and I may share it with you,
mm-hmm.
and you may look into it, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's cool, but not really for me.
Yeah.
And it would be better for you to leave it then.
Definitely.
And find something that works for you and that makes you feel elevated and excited and inspired and makes you feel stronger.
Yeah.
Because in the end, that is better for you and it's better for me. And then it's better for how we would ever connect. Yeah. Because you've got to look after yourself and nurture yourself. So then you can give out the best energy possible to all the people you exchange with.
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add. <It's> yeah.
Yeah. We need to go to the last question because we're almost an hour here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really? What?
Yeah.
What time?
And the kids are starting to come in.
Oh,
I'm sorry
God.
About the noise. Let's talk about yesterday's class.
Yesterday's class.
It was a magical experience.
Yeah, right.
Wow, wow,
right.
Wow.
I loved it. And
thank you.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so initially we wanted to have two classes where the first one is just a pure choreography of your own and
yeah.
then the second one would be a collaboration between us.
Yeah.
But sort of through the time, through this process of you coming here, we had lots of discussions over WhatsApp
yes,
and I was
we
changing
did.
My mind all the time. But I'm really surprised that we were working so organically and so naturally in the 3 hours that we had to
mm-hmm.
choreograph.
4.5.
No, not for the class. For
the class running for 4.5
yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
Ah.
Class was 4.5 hours.
Thank you so much who came.
Yeah, so
I
we had three. So we had 3 hours to create this.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised it happened so naturally and so
yeah.
organically. And
mm.
even though I got an injury, a back injury, I was really scared that I will not be able to perform my best in the class, but
yeah.
the way we did it, we really went into details and we adapted, and it was an amazing process just happening before the class
mm-hmm.
with the intention of giving something to other people.
Yeah.
And for the class, I'm very glad, really glad that we had two options to go either the choreography or take really these 3 hours, 4.5 hours practically to get more deeper in
yeah.
this process of eye contact and more than movement. And I think it worked out very well.
I thought it was an amazing class. There was amazing energy in there. I'm really happy that everyone who came, majority, we decided to go with the more than movement style for
yeah.
3 hours. We discussed the night before when you said you wanted to bring that influence here. I was like, if I'm going to teach choreography of mine and then we teach the collab, there's not going to be time
yeah.
to dip into the magic of what more than movement is. And I had a feeling. I was just like, I woke up that morning of the class and I was like, I have a feeling that they're going to want this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
I was honestly feeling it.
And they did.
And the majority raised their hands, so we went for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think yeah, everyone who came to that class was, they were ready for it. They were open to it. And yeah, that's what made it work, is literally their approach. They were saying, okay, let's try this. And every single person went in so far, and I wasn't expecting it. I didn't realize really how deep we were going to go. Mm-hmm. I knew we were going to sort of scratch the surface,
yeah,
but people were willing to put everything onto the floor for us in that space of 3 hours. And it was an honor to be in that space with those dancers. I hadn't met anyone before, and I felt like I met each person and I got an insight into every single one of their lives just by watching them move. And I just felt so lucky to be in that room, in that time with those people.
And to be more precise and specific, that none of them knew what they were coming for.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really describe and I didn't really know what it's going to be until the class happened. So it's very risky what they did. And in the beginning of the class, we obviously heard whispers, chattering, mm-hmm, and it's always happens in classes because it takes time for people to get in this working flow of movement. But really, I think the turning point was the circles,
yes,
the task of circles, where you
and
just...
I'm glad we did 2 circles, otherwise we would have been there for
seven hours. Because really everyone got in the circles, so
yeah,
the task was 2 circles, music is going on, no one's pushing anyone, you just go, mm-hmm, inside and you dance for how long you want.
Yeah.
And I saw so many people open up that I haven't seen before. I've been teaching before in here, so I saw them. Some credit goes to Eva. Thanks for the freestyle sessions, for everything you do in your, mm-hmm, daily classes with them, because over these past few months, really, many of them have opened up a lot, and we could really see the results in yesterday's class.
Absolutely.
And after the circles, everyone was really into the choreography, into the whole process. It was not easy, even for us. It was super challenging.
Yeah,
just the steps, just the moves and the timing and the musicality. But I feel very honored to have you here.
Thank you.
To collab. I've never done this before, so it's completely like, it will take time to process this, the whole process of what just happened, process, of what just has happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, crazy.
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 Crazy is right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, people are starting to come.
Mm. And my food and my stomach is
burping. Our food is waiting for us. So last words.
Anything you have on your mind, in your stomach?
Anything.
F spiders.
A reminder that for any of the dancers that came to class, you are free to use those exercises and those skills and to keep bringing that energy into the rest of your classes and into your free time. You know, a lot of you said that was the first time in a long time, or the first time where you felt really free in your dancing, and that was amazing to hear, but I don't want you to feel that you are only going to get that from that one class we had. You have the freedom to take that as far as you want. For me, it came from Rob and Lucy. That's where it all started, and a lot of those exercises are stuff that I do with them. So, you know, the credit goes to them, but they have given myself and the rest of my dancers at More Than Movement in Sydney the permission to carry that through the rest of our lives, not just on Sundays with them. And so that also applies to you guys. And just, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.